Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are going to be here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. We are live this morning. I'm back from helping my son move. Nothing like moving your son to remind you how old you are, and moving an electric couch. No fun. We used to hate sleeper sofas. Those are the worst to move, but nothing worse than a couch with electric motors in it. What happened to the good old days, Dennis, of just a lever and it pops out?
I don't know.
So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. And we are simulcasting our show via the Facebooks and the YouTubes. And coming up at 10 o'clock, we're going to have our resident electrical geek back with us. Peter Kelly Detweiler will be here, we hope, at 10 o'clock. And we want to talk about what happened in Spain and Portugal.
Yeah.
There's a massive power outage. Yeah. 50 million people.
Yeah. And it affected two countries, almost both, the whole of both countries.
Right.
For many hours.
And we're going to ask him what happened. Now, there's lots of people who talk about what happened, and we'll see what our expert is going to do to explain it to us. I guess it was such a bad outage that it spilled into the other country from the country that it started in Spain
and spilled into Portugal.
So we'll be talking with him. Because, again, we didn't hear much about it here. I mean, not a lot of people watch the news anymore, but I really didn't hear many people talking about it here as far as that outage. And we should, especially in Connecticut, where we really don't even know how electricity works. The more information we get to the folks here in Connecticut who don't know how electricity works, clearly they don't know because of our bills are just outrageous. I actually heard a story where there's a guy now on Pura who's going to actually decide to try to buy the natural gas that helps to generate energy at a low price rather than, believe it or not, we buy it at the highest price.
Well, wow.
Yeah. Isn't that a great thought?
I always thought, buy low, sell high. It was kind of a normal economic strategy.
Just a typical how you run your life, right, Dennis?
Right, yeah.
But not here in Connecticut. So that was like a eureka moment for them over there in Pura in Connecticut. So that's how bad it is. So we'll have Peter Kelly on to talk about, Peter Kelly Detweiler, to talk about what Spain and Portugal did to put 50 million people in the dark in the year 2025. Great going, guys. You're sharp over there. But another news, you want to get to what's going on here technology-wise, Dennis. You have some stories for us?
Yeah. Right here in Connecticut, we are having a problem in our schools.
Okay. That's a normal headline.
And
next.
I know. The sun comes up in the east.
Exactly. But there's a little more to this headline.
This is a TikTok challenge.
Oh boy.
Or no, sorry. It is on TikTok. It is called the Chromebook Challenge.
Mm.
You take your Chromebook and you push a metal implement of some kind into one of the USB ports or into the charging port.
Hmm.
And then you see what happens.
Right, which of course we could tell you what's going to happen.
You what's going to happen is usually going to be smoking and heat and maybe sparks and possibly an outright fire.
Yes. It's totally amazing.
Yeah, and there have been several incidents of this here in Connecticut, including one that sent a kid to the hospital.
Yeah, I just saw some of the news in Southington happen there too.
In Southington and Plainville, a couple other places that are getting this. And you know, I hear people talking about it. You know, what makes a kid who grew up in a technological world and understands, you know, probably that if you put something metal into a USB port on a running device, that you're not going to get a good result. But they're probably aware of that. That's how they grew up. You'd think. Well, that isn't the issue.
No. So they know
the
it's
issue isn't that they're dumb. Yes. They know what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're counting on it.
Right.
And they're doing it in order to get out of something during the school day.
Lovely.
Yeah. So it's being done maliciously, not stupidly.
Right. What happened to pulling the fire alarm like the guy did in the Senate, right? Or the House there, that guy. What about doing that?
I don't know.
Well, the old days of pulling the fire alarm. Not that I've ever done that, because there was always this big warning that your hand would be stained and they'd find you that you're the one that pulled the fire alarm. I don't know if that was even true when I was a kid, but I believed it. But yeah, these ding-dongs are blowing up $800 or $900 Chromebooks that are provided by the school system, right? I remember when we didn't even return a library book, you couldn't get your diploma. What happens when you don't pay for your Chromebook that your kid blew up? I mean, you're not dumb, you're right, but that's so dumb.
It is a dumb thing to do, but it's being done for malicious reasons.
Yes, well, welcome to TikTok, and I don't know.
I mean, talk about stuff like that. I mean, the cinnamon challenge a few years ago.
Right.
Come on, kids.
Right.
I think they know better.
Yeah. I think they'll still pass with a D, though. In other news, we'll get into the next grade. In other news, Kuwait, I brought this up during Tech Tuesday. Kuwait is cracking down on crypto miners to cut down on electricity usage, Dennis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because obviously, you know, running the AC in Kuwait is a thing. You know, there's a lot of energy going on. And they've completely outlawed crypto miners. And a crypto miner is just a guy with a computer who is participating in the general ledger there that processes the transactions and the blockchain, right? And they get their fraction of a Bitcoin. And Kuwait is saying no crypto for them. And the biggest part of this story that I wanted to bring you guys attention to is that according to recent data, crypto mining accounts for 2.5% of the total energy consumption of the U.S. 2.5%. That sounds small, but it's big, actually.
That's a sizable chunk.
It's so sizable that it's approximately half of the energy used by the entire commercial sector of the U.S. economy.
What?
Fake money, now valued at nearly $100,000 actual dollars, which, by the way, is also fake money. We won't go there, though. Takes half of the commercial sector's energy to produce this insanely stupid zero value product. I mean, if you want to look at commodities, gold versus crypto, at least gold is pretty. And you can, I mean.
Well, it also has industrial uses in addition to having monetary value.
Correct.
Yeah.
But this has literally no value other than what you're putting on it, in the same way a Beanie Baby has no value. And people were buying those like hotcakes back in the 90s. But it's consuming massive amounts of electricity. Right. So if you care about the environment and you buy crypto, it doesn't compute. No pun intended. So I'll put the link up here for you. You can read about what Kuwait's doing. But that's a lot of energy to produce a lot of fake money that, by the way, is most of you who are using it find yourselves losing it because you're being ripped off by scams to the tune of billions of dollars in the United States. So on top of your production of all the energy you're wasting, you're getting ripped off on top of it. I mean, it's like twice the fool's in your money. So we'll put the link up here for you and you can read about it. Kuwait knows what they're doing as far as I'm concerned.
I would say so.
Would you want to bring up anything else there, Dennis, before we go to a break?
Well, we've got another problem out in California.
Okay.
Yesterday morning, not the entire BART rail system in the Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah.
But mostly its eastern half.
Yeah.
Completely shut down.
Oh, boy.
And it shut down because there was a problem with network connection between two different devices.
Okay.
That shut down. And what was happening was that the train positioning data wasn't getting collected at the point where it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the system literally could not plot out the positions of all the trains. So
which
it had to shut down until it. Well, yeah, because you're going to have trains running right into each other otherwise.
Maybe they should use the air traffic control system and use those pieces of paper and keep track of them. Isn't that what we've been? That seems to work.
Well, yeah, I don't even know if they do that anymore.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, at any rate, they had to shut it all down for a while. Yeah. And it turns out that at least some of their systems date back to the 1960s when BART was put in.
Unbelievable.
They just haven't updated it all yet. Now, there's been talk about doing that for a very long time.
Yes,
and talk.
Yeah.
And we'll talk some more.
Government doesn't have to make it work.
And every time that somebody says, hey, we got to buy this.
Yeah, privatizing it, we would solve it. But
well, either way, somebody's got to spend money somewhere, and nobody wants to. So that's the real
problem. We'll put that story up there as well. Everything gets posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. Feel free to get online, guys, if you have any computer problems, comments, questions, and complaints. We'll also tell you our story of trying a Snapdragon-based device.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. We didn't. We inadvertently tried it. Not good. We're going to step up for a quick break into your calls. Four lines open for you. We'll be right back. All right. Yes, it is Mother's Day weekend.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. And I hope you're having some sort of plan with your mother, if possible. But we're here to help you guys. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We're just talking off air because Carolyn updated us that the Plainville student is going to be charged with criminal charges.
Ooh.
Yay.
Good.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. So maybe that'll put a damper on the ding-dongs in Plainville, Southington area that were considering sticking a fork in their Chromebook.
And Earth to school children?
Hmm.
You know, not all of these TikTok challenges are things that you should do. Yeah. I'm just thinking out loud and maybe making a suggestion.
There you go.
You know, maybe the people who are issuing the challenges are trying to see how stupid you can be.
Yes.
And then they're going to laugh at you when you go and do the stupid thing that they told you to do.
Right.
You know, don't be the butt of the joke. Come on.
There you go. TikTok.
Come on.
Don't be the butt of the joke. the new slogan for TikTok. All right, so got some calls coming in here, and it looks like we can go over to Bob in Hebron first. Hey, what's going on there, Bob?
Hi, guys. Hi. I've got another dilemma.
Sure.
It's about I have some PDFs that are searchable. Most of them are. And then I've got some that are not searchable. I can't search on a word.
Yep.
And also, if I have a written document and I scan it, a typed document, mm-hmm. and I scan it, and it makes a PDF file, I don't seem to be able to search that one, too. So if I have a paper copy of something, how do I get that into a searchable PDF format?
Well, what you'd have to do is get software that can do that. Some of the software that comes with scanners now actually will. Some of the scanner companies will actually provide an extra software title with their scanners in addition to just whatever the scanning utility is mm-hmm. that gets the scan. Some of them will include something else. I bought a scanner a couple years ago from Brother that came with Kofax Power PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And Power PDF will take a PDF file that you've scanned and it will make it searchable.
Optical character recognition.
Right. Now, other scanner companies might offer other utilities like that.
Yeah.
A common one that I find is Paperport. It's just that Brother included Kofax with mine, but you do see Paperport in a lot of places. But here's the hitch.
Yeah.
You have to go to their website and get the utility because it usually doesn't get installed by default. So you have to know that you can have it, go find it, and install it. And you're usually going to have to follow the manufacturer's instructions on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I had to get the Kofax Power PDF installer from the Brother website, not from Kofax's.
Right.
And I activated it by putting in the serial number of my scanner
mm-hmm.
when it was time to install.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that because that was the directions that I got. But you're going to have to follow whatever the directions are for whatever it is that you can get with your scanner. But I would investigate that first. The alternative would be to buy a commercial package like Power PDF or Phantom PDF
mm-hmm.
or Acrobat, mm-hmm. actual Acrobat from Adobe, which is very expensive. The alternatives that I'm talking about are in the neighborhood of $100 to $150.
Mm.
And I think Acrobat now is going for well over $200 at this
point. It's a subscription.
And, well, if you can get a retail version that's just standalone, like Acrobat 2024 or something that. They are selling Acrobat DC, which is a subscription, and it is not cheap. It's like $25 a year, I think.
It's too much.
Not $25 a year, sorry. $25 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that's what they're doing now. However, at any rate, you should be able to get something from the manufacturer of your scanner. That would be the first place to go. And whatever that is, will be free. They've included it. So,
all right, Bob.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. As always, your wealth of valuable information that I couldn't live without.
well, we think you can live without us, but we do appreciate it.
Thanks,
Bob,
for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Okay. Thanks again.
You too. Bye-bye. Oh, it's funny. Couldn't live without us. My wife's going to love that one.
My friends are never going to live that down.
Let's go to Seth in Bloomfield, see what he's got cooking. Hey, Seth, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I use MSN Outlook, and whenever anybody sends me anything, instead of going into my inbox, it goes into my archives. Why is that?
All right, that's a setting issue. We're coming against the hard break. We'll go look up the setting and tell you what's going on. So can you hang on, Seth, through the news? You can listen to a little bit of Morgan?
Sure,
all right.
Sure,
we'll put you on hold. You can listen to Morgan on the news, and we'll figure out why his mail coming in is going to his archive rather than his inbox. You probably set a rule, but who knows? You can inadvertently have done that. Three lines wide open. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're here till 11 o'clock, here to help you out. Heck, if your mother's got a problem, we'll help. It's Mother's Day. Feel free to give us a ring. Maybe we can help her as a gift for Mother's Day. Wouldn't that be a thing? But feel free to get online. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook, over at the Tab Computer Systems Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, we're there now. You can see our pasty white computer geek faces right there for you. We'll be right back with Tab. And we're on the line with Seth, who is trying to figure out why his emails go into his archive folder. What's going on, Seth?
I'm doing fine, guys.
So all your emails go into the archive folder. I got a feeling Dennis has an answer already.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder if there is some kind of inbox rule in effect. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Number one, what mail service is it that we're talking about? Is it Outlook.com?
It's MSN.com.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that is Outlook.com, even though different domain.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it is housed in the same systems. Number two, what client are you using to get to the mail? Are you using the web interface or are you using Outlook or what?
Outlook, I believe. Okay. But I don't know. That I can't answer.
All right. Well, if it's the program Outlook that you're using, I'm going to suggest that you do something. It's mentioned in an article that we can post.
Yeah.
But it's a way of launching Outlook, with a special switch that tells it to clean out all of your rules. And they can be rules that are both, you know, local to the Outlook program that you're using on the computer you're using it on, as well as out in the cloud. And that kind of is a problem with Outlook and Exchange.
Yeah.
It's possible to have an inbox rule locally on a computer, but nowhere else. And then sometimes you can have a rule that's in the cloud and it gets acted on no matter what.
Right.
No matter where you're looking at the mail. And sometimes people can have rules in one place or the other, and it affects what they're seeing.
That is frustrating.
And they don't know why and what happened. Yeah. So just the question that you're having might be solved by doing that.
So we'll give you an article.
Okay,
there's
so you're gonna post an article on your website?
Yes, on the website and on Facebook and on Twitter or X or whatever it goes by these days.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. My other question. Where we live in Bluefield, we don't have, unfortunately, we don't have GoNet speed. But on our street, Frontier ran fiber optics.
Yep.
I hear good things and bad things about Frontier fiber optics. A couple of the neighbors have switched over, and I'm sitting back and watching and waiting and listening.
Yeah.
Am I going to gain anything right now? I have Xfinity, the old Xfinity. It's working fine. It does what it does. Mm-hmm. It's expensive.
That's the key.
What are your thoughts on Frontier? I mean, I'm kind of torn.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So my contention is, because there's more competition, you know, now that there's a second option for you, I'm going to say Frontier hopefully will try to keep you satisfied and have good service, right? It'll be cheaper than what you're paying, obviously. Eventually, they're going to go ahead and try to increase your rates like they all do. And maybe by that time, GoNet speed is down your street as well. There's wireless options as well. So the fiber can be faster. If you happen to be a gamer, you'd have lower latency.
No.
Okay.
No. Just me and my wife and, online looking at Facebook and emails and stuff like that.
All right. Did you cut the cable where you're actually streaming?
That's why I'm debating doing this.
Yeah.
Cutting the cable and doing this.
That would be a good thing. You would get, pick your actual services and pick the channels and services you'd like. And hopefully the combination of those prices is a lower cost than what you're paying Xfinity.
And then how does UMA work?
UMA is a voice over IP service. So basically, you're going to port your number to UMA. So whatever your phone number is in Bloomfield, it'll get ripped away from that local carrier. In this case, it's either, you know, through Xfinity right now?
Yeah.
They'll lose your number, and it's going to go through UMA. And basically, UMA just says, hey, when you call, Seth in Bloomfield, direct call over here, and then your phone rings. That's how it works.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm getting inundated with stuff from Frontier right now, so yeah. I just kind of sit back and let see how the neighbors work. I go every week on the Go NetSpeed and, you know, say, I want to have this service on my street. And they say, well, fill out this survey and we'll get back to you. And, you know, it's all over Bloomfield, but not on my street.
I've got stories where people are literally a mile away from it and are just dying to get it. So you just got to keep telling them you're interested, and hopefully they'll get it to you.
And then sit back and watch and see how the neighbors make out with Frontier.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Thank you very much. I'll look forward to that article being posted.
You got it, Seth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Yeah, nothing better than competition to bring down your pricing. That's the good thing. And maybe even improve your service. Let's go to Joe in Berlin, who's got a Windows 11 issue. What's happening, Joe?
Good morning. I'm trying to upgrade my desktop here to Windows 11. And I get a message saying it's not compatible, but I can't upgrade for whatever reason. I forgot.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what I have.
Well, before you tell us what you have, how old is it?
About 4 years old.
4 years. Okay. So I'm guessing before you tell us anything else, I'm guessing your TPM module is not turned on in the BIOS is probably what they told you. Because 4-year-old machine has a TPM module on it, but your BIOS may not have had it turned on by default. So we can put an article out there as far as how to turn TPM BIOS TPMs on in most BIOSes. Basically, the BIOS is the actual brains of the machine before the operating system is loaded. It's the machine. Yep. It's the machine brain versus the software brain, and I would bet you turn that on. Now, if it's 4 years old, but you happen to buy it at a very low price, and the generation of that CPU happened to be a much older gen CPU, that could also be why you're not able to upgrade. 4 years old, I would hope you have enough RAM and hard drive space. So those are the other two issues you could possibly be dealing with.
Yeah, and there are a few specific CPUs that are not compatible with Windows 11.
Yeah.
But I would not think that a 4-year-old one would be one of those. I mean, that's right. For me, that's kind of off the table.
Yeah. So I think your TPM isn't turned on.
It's an i7.
It's a what?
776. It's an Intel Core i7.
I'm pretty sure that it is compatible with Windows 11.
You just need to turn
the
TPM.
The only reason I mentioned it is because there are a very small number of freak CPU models that are not. And, you know, maybe there's a
1%.
A 0.1% chance that yours is one of them. Yeah. I just think it's very minimal chance. That's all.
Okay.
So when you boot up, you have a process where you get into your BIOS. It's going to be a combination of keys or escape keys. And you want to go look to see within the BIOS if the TPM is turned on or not. I would bet you it's not. You turn it on, reboot, and then try it again. You should have better luck.
I hope so. All right. I'm going to give that a try.
Sounds good, Joe.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Love your show.
Thank you. We appreciate you listening. All right. Bye-bye. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we found this a lot. I mean, for some reason, a lot of BIOSes didn't turn the TPM on. It's not like it's a crypto miner where it uses all your energy.
Yeah,
I don't know why it wasn't turned on.
I really am having a hard time understanding that decision.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
But once you turn it on, then you should be compatible. We're going to step out for a quick break. Right, Carolyn? Get to your calls. Four lines wide open, 860-522-9842 is the number. And then coming up at 10 o'clock, our resident energy geek, Peter Kelly Detweiler, will be on with us to tell us what happened in Spain that brought down 50 million people in their power. Somehow the lights went off, even though it was a sunny day. But from what I understand, they are a net zero state now. And they were very excited about becoming net zero as a country. And I have a feeling, though, that that might have contributed. But we'll let Peter tell us to the big outage. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. And let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Rich in Naugatuck. What's happening there, Rich?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, a question for you. Obviously, that's why I'm calling, right?
Yep.
So prior to what I believe was a Windows 11 update, the scenario would be is if you're working on a program, and you have a window open, and then I would minimize it. Maybe I would go to another application, and then that might have been minimized down in the taskbar. So what I'm finding now is that if those windows are all minimized and the actual desktop display is existing there, just the wallpaper, for example, I used to be able to go down to the taskbar, put the cursor over top of, say, the program that I wanted to be working on. A little window would pop up just above the taskbar. I would click on that, and that would be, say, my tabs. Maybe it was Firefox or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And then I could continue working. And then I could do that for any program or any windows that I might have had open at that time. Now, what ends up happening is that if those windows are all minimized down at the taskbar, and, of course, the full wallpaper is displayed on the desktop, it has to be the case, I cannot click on that little window that would pop up to display my program. I have to keep clicking the lower taskbar a couple of times, not the program in the taskbar, not a blank spot on the taskbar, for it to finally open. And that only occurs if the wallpaper is currently being displayed on the machine. I know it seems kind of like a long drawn out explanation for something that's hard to describe because there's so many little, tidbits in it.
No, that was actually very, very well done, frankly. We wish we got that type of descriptions with the troubleshooting that we do. That was that was tremendous. Now, Dennis, you do a lot of this troubleshooting for our clients. Have you ever come across that particular scenario? I have not myself, and I've been using Windows 11.
No, I haven't seen it.
Because it has to do with the wallpaper specifically, it seems.
What I'm doing here is I'm going through the same process.
Right.
All right. Right now, I have a couple of applications running that are minimized, and
yep.
I'm looking at my wallpaper.
Yep.
Okay. If I go down on the taskbar and I hover over one of those applications,
yep.
I will see the little thumbnail window that mm-hmm. pops up. It floats mm-hmm. up.
Yep.
Then if I just hover the mouse over that little thumbnail,
mm-hmm.
that window comes up.
Without clicking on it.
Without clicking on anything. All I do is hover on the thumbnail and whoop, there it is.
The power of the hover. Are you clicking?
Now, if I unhover,
yes,
and I go off of the thumbnail,
yeah.
The window goes away
and the wallpaper shows.
And the wallpaper is back.
Could it be you're clicking, Rich?
Yep,
rather than
so
hovering.
And if I hover to his point, the little thumbnail will pop up.
Mm-hmm.
However, it only stays as a thumbnail only.
Well,
it won't go to a full
if you move up, if you move the mouse over that little thumbnail, what happens?
It will just stay as a little thumbnail.
That's a little odd.
Because yeah.
That's not the behavior that I see here with Windows 11.
Right. So you could have done it. Could he have done a customization of some kind, which would have been really freaky to actually do, that says, when I hover, don't display.
I would right. say that would have to have been pretty deep into the settings. So I'm just going to go there and say that he didn't do that.
Right. No.
Right, yeah.
How have you updated the Windows 11 in a while? Could just an update help you?
I'm very religious on the updates. When they're out, they're up.
All right.
I'm done. So I'm definitely running the most current version.
Okay, so Dennis is still playing with it, but he's not seeing the actual symptom you're describing. So we would have to dig a little deeper to see if there's a... And the problem is trying to search on your problem is exactly as difficult as you tried to explaining it to us.
Yeah,
it?
Yes, sir.
So that's why it might be more difficult to find. But what do you think, Dennis?
I'm stomping the stars.
Well, we don't see everything out there. We only can help you with what we see.
Right.
And of course, with Microsoft... The way the function of how the the taskbar works and how a hover works should be universal, right? It shouldn't change, but they're always changing how stuff works. So from Windows 11 and that experience to Windows 10 and the experience there, and back to Windows 95 or 98, which both of us have forgotten long ago as to how the, well, maybe not Dennis, my mind, but Dennis's mind is like a steel trap. But however you hovered over it when it was Windows 95 and how that would react, I would recall that there wouldn't have been a preview in those older versions where you would have had to click, I think, to actually see what was there rather than have it detect the hover. Right?
I agree. Right.
So every different version is ridiculous. So we can try to do some searching and see if we can find something. But
I think we're, well, unfortunately, I don't know if I can do that research here.
Yeah.
I think what I'm going to have to do is try it at home, maybe set up a virtual machine on a nice big computer and fiddle with some settings. One thing that I'm going to suggest, wait a minute. Let's see what we got here.
What about using the sandbox function in it? I haven't tried that. Actually, just made me think of that. Would that
sandboxing is intended for you as a diagnostic or as a safety measure to run one particular application in what's called a sandbox, where it doesn't interact with the rest of the system. I don't think that's something that you can run full time with everything that you're running.
Right.
I don't know how well that would work. Because a sandbox is actually a virtual computer itself. And if you're going to run a whole bunch of these little sandbox virtual computers on your computer, I think it's going to bog down pretty fast and you're not going to like the performance.
Yeah.
Well, what I was thinking is if the taskbar oddity that's occurring here, if it was occurring within the taskbox, the sandbox as well, if I was able to duplicate. I didn't try that. I don't know if that's even possible.
Or you could even pop it into safe mode, which I haven't played in Windows 11 safe mode much. Do you do anything in the safe mode these days, Dennis? Is that still a popular tool or is it not?
It's rarely used. Yeah. Rarely. It's usually used only in disasters.
Right. So even that may not be worth
it. Yeah. Mike G found an article about something that might be related to this.
He's good.
Yeah, he's the best.
We'll put his article up too, Rich.
We'll post that. I'll do a little bit of research at home. The other thing that I'm going to do for you is post a link to a tweaking package that does all different kinds of settings for Windows and Explorer. There are literally hundreds of different setting changes that this thing will do. And I'm not telling you to just go in there and make a whole bunch of changes.
Right.
I'm suggesting that you install the product. It's called Aero Tweaker, A-E-R-O, Tweaker. So it's a weird name.
It is.
But it's very useful, and it categorizes all the little tools. So you're going to find a category for Explorer, which is what you're working with. And then there will be categories under that. And take a look at some of the settings that are available there and see if any of them affect this behavior on your computer. Because it's possible that there is something in there. Yeah, we're going to post a link to that.
Yeah, we'll post it for you.
And it does have a funny name, but it is a genuinely good product.
And the thing about all these settings, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I just don't like the pictures that come across automatically on the back of my screen from Microsoft, right? I don't like them. They're beautiful pictures, don't get me wrong. But I was looking at a kangaroo all week. Now, I had set this to not do that, right? This is just one stupid setting, right? One that I've set to tell my Windows operating system not to do that. And what happens after an update? Microsoft says, you know what, Eric? We're going to give you those damn pictures again.
Right.
You know,
I ran into that too.
Yeah. So if I can't even customize Microsoft to tell it to stop sending me the stupid pictures, I would spend literally zero time customizing anything else because Microsoft will dictate how you are going to consume Microsoft, no matter how you like it, which drives me bonkers. So maybe this third party tweaker is the way around that. So you can.
It has a lot of settings that you can change. Holy mackerel.
And it holds them. Versus having Microsoft say
it keeps them because it will run at boot time and it will make the changes that are necessary.
Right, but then again, now you have another thing that can go wrong.
But I've been using it for years and I haven't found any issues with it.
So it's got Dennis's vote of confidence. So we'll put those linked up there for you, Rich. We'll see what we can do to figure this out. But that was a good one.
Thanks, buddies. Appreciate it very much. I've called many times in the past, and you've been great. So well, appreciate it. Good job.
Thank you. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines wide open. This is Computer Talk. Feel free to get online. We'll be right back.